نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاعتبروا يا أولي الأبصار. عن سفيان بن عيينة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: تنزل الرحمة عند ذكر أولياء الله. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، رواه مسند أحمد في مسنده. Then scholars, brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One of the distinguishing features of Islam is how knowledge is passed on. No tradition of learning, teaching, education can match or parallel that. One of the distinguishing features, whether we look at Islamic history or the sciences of the Quran or the sciences of the Hadith, of the actual text of the Hadith, is the actual chain of narrators who pass on that knowledge. The people who were involved. Today's example, a person might pass on an information by their text message or WhatsApp or an email or Tango. Different ways of passing on information. In years gone by, where this technology did not exist, individuals who we today remember and who have been mentioned, individuals such as Shah Anwar Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi, Mufti Mahmudul Hasan rahmatullahi alayhi, Hafizul Hadith, Hafizul Quran, Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Darkhati rahmatullahi alayhi, and others paid devotion and focus on the fact of how this information has come to us. Because a hadith comes in two bits. A bit is called the isnad, i.e. the chain of information which connects us to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each and every single individual who graduates from a hadith Darul Uloom is given that license to narrate it. And then is the main text of the hadith. The scholarly effort of 1400 years has been those individuals who relate to us information concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How were they? What was their memory like? What was their piety like? What was their righteousness like? What was their honesty like? Because we need the most accurate information to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You may well tell me, if I was to mention names of the past, Allama Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, who died in the year 852 Hijri. His name is taken in every Darul Hadith across the globe. In our 20th century, Hafiz al Hadith Hazrat Maulana Darkhati rahmatullahi was born in 1324 Hijri. At the beginning of the 20th century, he passed away in 1424. He saw the 20th century and the ups and downs of the 20th century. In that century, where we've had two world wars, where we've had the splitting of the subcontinent, where we've had the breakup of the Middle East, in that continent, in that world, in that period, where the world has changed so much, for one person to come out the end of it, where the world today refers to as Hafizul Hadith, is an achievement in itself. And if you read his life stories and listen to the people who met him firsthand, one concerning thought remains the focus of this great Sheikh, and that is, what will be my situation be before I die? Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullah, a great Imam of Fiqh. His school of thought did not spread out like the others. He, at his time of his death, was in and out of consciousness. People around him asked when he regained consciousness, "Oh Imam, you are this great Shaykh al-Imam. Why are you crying? What is your concern? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you if that is your concern. Says, my concern are not my sins. And in his lifetime, another person relates, he once picked up a mustard seed. He says, my sins don't even equate to this mustard seed. But my concern today is, will my last moment be a moment of iman, or is shaitan going to distract me? These great individuals' life, what is their legacy for us? Why are we gathered here today? What is the lesson for us today? If we ask today a poll of people around here, how many people actually know 100 telephone numbers by heart? We're stuck. We're dumbfounded. In the 20th century, despite all these technologies, we have an individual who is referred with the title from Hazrat Maulana Shah Anwar Kashmiri Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi of Hafiz al-Hadith. This means he knew over 100,000 hadiths. Not just the words of the hadith. Hadith comes in two parts. Also, when he related hadith, he took pride in saying the actual chain of transmission. Who sent information to who, and how credible are they? And further on, he also narrated the actual words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at a third level, what this hadith status, is it authentic, is it not authentic, is it semi-authentic? And where will this be found? Over the years, people have specialized in these fields. But in this field of hadith study, Hazrat Shaykh Qutb al-Aqtab, Nawwarallahu marqadahu sah, with the hadith that I just cited of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the Shaykh of Imam Abu Dawood al-Sijistani rahmatullahi alayhi, in his musnad of 10,000 hadith, narrates a tradition that when the awliya, when the righteous people of Allah, and remember, a tranquility descends upon the gathering. Rahmah envelops that gathering. One feels the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and eagerness to learn more and heal. As a Shaykh Qutb al-Aqtab nawwarallahu marqadahu says, it is as though we are in their company. And this is why these great individuals focused during their daily lives for years on end to spend their life in hadith, so that they are spending their life in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the age of 11, our Shaykh became a Hafiz of the Quran. At the age of 18, he became an Alim. He was guided by his great tutor, Qutb al-Aqtab, Hazrat Ghulam Ahmad Deenpuri.
Ghulam Muhammad.
To continue on the path of knowledge. He established a madrasa in his village. And 15 years later on, he established another madrasa in Khanpur. His legacy is about propagating knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when we hear those words, it's as though we're in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the teaching. Sufyan ibn Uyayna's concern, will my last moment of departure from this world be of iman? I can present myself to Allah with mountains of sin, inshallah He will forgive me. If I don't have that spectacle of iman, He will never forgive me. These great individuals, shaykhs, their legacy is all about this. Their concern for their last moment inspired them to lead a righteous life. Today the notion is of lifestyle. Their lifestyle was all about pleasing the Creator, knowing the Creator. In days gone by, there are people, unsung heroes of our tradition. Imam Hidayah is one whose achievement were not known to the world around him. That when he produced this text of Hidayah, he fasted for 13 years until one of his servants said this was it. He never took food. Imam Nasa'i rahmatullahi alayh, his legacy continues through his text today of Sunan al-Nasa'i. Till today there's a dispute, was it Ibn Sunni, or was it Abu Abd al-Rahman al-Nasari who's the author? Usul al-Shashi, the author, is still disputed. Dr. Akram Nadvi from Oxford Islamic Center for Oxford Center of Islamic Studies had a detailed article on this, yet still the identity. There are individuals in our lifetime we come across, or in history we come across, who are the unsung heroes. Not many people know about them. But if today's session, seminar, gives us one lesson, is to distribute the awareness of Hafiz al-Hadith, Imam al-Tasawwuf, Shaykh al-Hadith, wal-Qur'an, wal-Ma'rifah, Mawlana Abdullah al-Khasi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. An unsung hero, not many people know. And we're hearing first-hand knowledge of these individuals. And whenever we hear the individuals' legacies, we need to reflect that. If today we cannot remember 100 telephone numbers, or even the names of 100 individuals in our own clans and tribes, and some of us can't even remember 10 telephone numbers, how gifted was this individual in the sights of Allah and from Allah if he could remember more than 100,000 names? And how much spiritual light and nur? Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, on one occasion, and this is when he is buried today in Egypt, in Cairo, this is above his grave, complains to his teacher about his poor memory. شكوت إلى وكي إن سوء حفظي فأرشدني إلى ترك المعاصي لأن العلم نور من إلهي ونور الله لا يؤتى لعاصي. That if you have a memory problem, today there are great courses, thousands of pounds are spent on developing your memory and how to use your mind. And deep psychological analysis and psychotherapy is used. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi's teacher says, if you want to enhance your memory power, then you need to sort out your actions. Make sure your actions are good actions, then Allah Rabbul Alameen will instill you with the nur. Hazrat Maulana Shafali Thanvi sahab rahmatullah was once approached by an alim. He said, Hazrat, I read in this hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, whoever reads Surah Yasin once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to give him completion of 10 Qur'ans. How can this be? I need to understand this. Hazrat Maulana in Ashraf al-Tafasir, this story is narrated, explained to this alim, at one level, as believers we have to understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give to whoever he wants, how much ever he wants. At another level, a scholarly argument, he said, reading the Quran 10 times, which is approximately 100 hours recitation, you are instilled with every letter of the Quran with nur and spiritual light in your heart. That is no parallel to reciting Surah Yasin once of 5 minutes. There is a difference in the nur of Ilah, nur of Allah, entering your heart and reciting Surah Yasin once and reciting the Quran 10 times. These people's individuals' hearts and their spirits were filled with the nur of Allah. That's why they were able to understand these hadiths, relate these hadiths as though there was nothing about them. Today we can't remember what we did yesterday. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted the memory. We need to ask this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to ask that close connection that these individuals had. Their legacy shows us, people like of all the traditions, names we've just heard, connection with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I conclude with the verses of Allama Zamakhshari, which were recited by Allama Ibn Hajar at the time of his death. Allama Ibn Hajar is this great sheikh. How would we understand the text of Bukhari Sharif today if there was no Allama Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayh? And in the race, and I quote, he is on his final moments. His concern is, will my iman be there when I depart from this world? This great sheikh. And what does he say? قَرُبَ الرَّحِيلُ إِلَىٰ دِيَارِ الْآخِرَةِ قَرُبَ الرَّحِيلُ إِلَىٰ دِيَارِ الْآخِرَةِ فَاجْعَلِ إِلَٰهِ خَيْرَ عُمْرِ آخِرَةِ. The time of traveling to the eternal abode has come. This is Allama Ibn Hajar. The time of traveling to the eternal abode has approached. So establish, O my Lord, my best time of my life, my last time. Establish the last time, the last portion of my life as the best part of my life. وَرْحَمْ مَبِيْتِ فِي الْقُبُورِ وَوَحْدَتِي وَرْحَمْ مَبِيْتِ فِي الْقُبُورِ وَوَحْدَتِي وَرْحَمْ عِزَامِهِنَ تَبَقَى نَاخِرَةِ O Allah, have shown mercy upon me when I'm in my resting place in the grave and I am by myself. Show mercy upon me when I'm in my resting place in my grave and I am by myself. And have mercy upon my bones when they become decomposed. Have mercy upon my bones when they become decomposed. فَأَنَا الْمِسْكِينُ الَّذِي أَيَّامُهُ مَضَتْ بِأَوْزَارِ غَدَتْ مُتَوَاتِرًا فَأَنَا الْمِسْكِينُ الَّذِي I am that poor person whose days have gone by in sin and the sins became continuous. The sin became continuous. فَلَئِنْ رَحِمْتَ فَأَنْتَ أَكْرَمُ رَاحِمُ And if you show mercy, you are the most generous. You are the most merciful. فَبِحَارُ جُورِكْ يَا إِلَهِ زَاخِرَةً And the ocean of your generosity, O my Lord, the ocean of your generosity, O my Lord, is unlimited. The legacy of these great individuals is telling us. This is the question we need to ask ourselves. Why did I come here today? What am I going to take away from here today? The legacy of these great individuals is telling us their concern for their final moment inspired them to lead a righteous life. And the most righteous path they saw was to engulf themselves in the study of the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a similar life and to learn from these episodes of this great Shaykh. Wa afirullah wa alhamdulillah.